is what they're saying.
This would be considered very problematic behavior.
Right. It would be considered problematic behavior.
Yeah.
If you can, like, drink outside.
Yeah, but
do
still,
it.
I mean, should you be accepting a drink from a stranger?
No.
Don't
of
know
course not.
If
of
he
course
has
not.
Coronavirus. This is just not, it's not good.
Of
not
course
what you
not.
Want to be doing.
Bubba Clemson with a good note here. Good historical note. Some of Adam's last words were, quote, alas, Jefferson survives me, close quote.
Yes.
Which that's totally Shakespearean right there, not knowing that Jefferson had died.
How crazy
hours
is
earlier.
It that both those guys died 50 years to the day of July 4th, 1776? That's insane.
I'm fascinated by the founders and their history and their interactions. And I feel like I just don't. I don't know the half of it. Like, Adams and Jefferson, their stories were so intertwined. Jefferson was a proponent of small federal government. Adams preferred more of a heavy-handed federal system. And so they were at odds pretty well constantly, like from the 1770s on throughout their lives. But their paths continued to intertwine. They had to work together because Jefferson was a vice president for Adams. I'm fascinated by the two of them. It's really cool stuff.
Well, there's no more questions about the Founding Fathers. Sorry
okay.
about that. Actually,
that's okay.
Oh,
that's my wheelhouse.
I stand corrected. There is one.
Oh, there we go.
All right, question number three.
Okay.
I will just confess, as I told you during the break, I find this question oddly funny. But it is not funny. It is morbid and sad.
Are you going to laugh
so here
and
we go.
Feel bad about it? On the air.
Question number
three.
Are
you going to have to apologize for laughing on the
probably,
air?
Probably. Okay. Question number three. Which president died as a result of contracting cholera from eating spoiled cherries at a July 4th party? Hashtag 19th century problems. That gives you a hint. Was it A, Martin Van Buren, B, Zachary Taylor, or C, William Henry Harrison?
Dang it, you would. All right, William Henry Harrison died of pneumonia, so that's out. He was president for like
I tried to fool you on that one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine eating spoiled cherries at your 4th of July party and then just keeling over 5 days later?
No. Ah, man.
Also, what did these cherries taste like? Did you not get a hint? Again, I shouldn't be commenting on this question because I am not approaching it with the proper amount of sadness.
I'm upset that you... I totally was thinking pre-Lincoln, post, like, Founding Fathers.
Okay, so one of these texters knows all these answers, weirdly enough.
I
don't know
think
how.
The answer here is Martin Van Buren. Oh, what? No!
Zachary Taylor.
No!
Ate spoiled cherries at a July 4th party. And got cholera from them. And
I was
died.
Sure that Van Buren... I used to have a book when I was little. My parents probably have it at their house still. And it was like graphic adaptations of the presidents. Like, it was William Howard Taft holding a baseball stuck in the bathtub because
yes,
he did that. He got
all
stuck
I
in the
remember
bathtub
about Taft is that he
pitch.
Was stuck in the bathtub.
First pitch. First president throughout a ceremonial first pitch. William Howard Taft. And, I really think maybe he just liked cherries. I don't know. I felt like Van Buren, there was something in there about cherries, but anyway.
Well, maybe he ate cherries in a non-deadly way.
Yeah.
Maybe he found the way to do that.
Shoot. I thought for sure Van Buren was my first instinct.
It's just a tough,
always
it's
wrong.
A tough way to
always
go.
Wrong.
Tough way to go. Okay.
Always wrong.
Okay. But because of the bonus question, you currently have you have a 27 on this quiz so far out of three questions because of your bonus.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, texter says rumors surfaced he was later poisoned. Now that's interesting.
Whoa.
That is interesting.
Man, American history is just, it's just chock full.
Oh, man.
It's just chock full.
Okay. Question number four. The hot dog is a staple for Americans on July 4th. When and where was the hot dog introduced into American culture and cuisine?
You're kidding.
Was it A, 1893 in Chicago, B, 1789 in Boston, or C, 1831 in New York?
I'm going to assume that Nathan's has a lot to do with this, and I'm going to say 1831, New York. See, yikes. I know that's wrong, but what else am I going to guess? That's a ridiculous
okay.
question.
According to hotdog.org, so in Chicago in 1893, we had the World's Fair. And at that fair, Americans started eating hot dogs, and they were like, what is this? This is amazing. So also in 1893, following the World's Fair, a St. Louis bar owner named Chris von Dehahe, or however you say A-H-E, a German immigrant, started selling hot dogs at St. Louis Browns baseball games. And that's when the hot dog really started to explode, because it was a staple at baseball games. There you go.
Interesting. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not even going to type in hotdog.org.
It's actually hot-dog.org.
There's no way. Something would go wrong.
Your main drop-downs here are media, sausage basics, culture, and resources.
Of course.
What else could you need? And under culture, we have 25 hot dog facts for 25 years, MLB hot dog and sausage guide, hot dog etiquette, hot dogs in sports, and many more. Okay. Let's go on to question five.
Oh, man. All right.
Question number five. This is your last kind of weird question. Then we have sports.
Okay.
According to the 4th of July celebrations database at American University.
Oh, no.
During the American Revolution on July 4th, 1778, George Washington ordered a double ration of what? So his soldiers could celebrate the holiday. A, bread. B, meat. C, rum.
Once again, I mean, no chance that this even, I can't even eliminate any of these. I'm going rum, Kelly. Final answer.
Very good.
Yes.
George wanted his guys to be able to let loose a little. On July 4th, 1778, he said, bring in double rations of rum.
What a horrible, depressing image. Like, hey, guys, live it up. Hey, double bread. Here we go. Everybody cheers. Yeah, two rolls. Yes. Double meat. Bring him two chicken tenders today. Yeah,
all right. Tenders.
Yeah. Boy, we're eating like kings. Woo! We almost filled the plate with this chicken. I can't imagine celebrating. Like a Valley Forge, maybe. Or like half a chicken tender. That'd be great.
Or maybe when they had just crossed the Delaware. I mean, you're exhausted.
Right.
I need
last
a drink.
Last piece of salted pork. Let's just divide that up and see how long it lasts. But yeah, rum is the way to go. That's
I hope they didn't have
celebrate.
A battle the next day, you know?
Double bread.
Probably
do they
some
have
headaches
rye?
In the morning.
Whole wheat. Awesome.
Do they have gluten-free? Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. The gluten-free menu with the Revolutionary Army, I'm sure, was quite expansive.
General Washington, I don't eat gluten. Okay.
You've go home, son. This ain't for you.
Just get out. Just go. Okay. You have 3. Okay, you have a 3.67 right now.
Okay.
Heading into question 6.
Out of 5. Okay.
We're heading on to sports now.
Okay. Is the sports part, is this more or less difficult?
Oh, I would say it's
than the first part.
It's as difficult.
Okay.
Yeah. But you have mainly multiple choice except for one question, which is going to be hard for you. I would think. But there's also a bonus. I wanted to give you bonuses, you know?
I appreciate that.
Just to help. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Question number 6. Which pitcher recorded his 3,000th strikeout on July 4th, 1980 in an 8-1 loss to the Reds? Was it A, Gaylord Perry? What a name. B, Tom Seaver? Or C, Nolan Ryan?
You said it was 1980?
Yes.
All right, 1980. Seaver might have been. Seaver was with the Reds for a little bit. I think he was with the Mets then, though. I'm going to go I'm going to go Kelly Gramlich wrote the question. Nolan Ryan, final answer.
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
All right.
I went and looked up the guys in the 3,000 strikeout club, and Gaylord Perry and Tom Seaver were close to 1980. I think they were each right after 1980, like 81 and 83 when they joined the club. But
that
yes, Nolan Ryan did that in an 8-1 loss to Cincinnati. So
that's right.
He didn't have the best day, but he still got his 3,000 strikeout.
America's team.
Okay, 4.67, Kwok. Here we go.
All right.
Question number 7. On July 4th, 1982, we had an All-American Wimbledon final on the men's side for just the second time in the Open era. Can you name the two competitors in this match? And bonus, can you tell me who won?
I'm going to go with...
I'll give you... There's two right answers here. You need to get both to get it right. I will give you three guesses.
Okay. I'm going to go John McEnroe.
Very good.
And give me Connors.
That was really good, Kwok.
Yes.
I'm impressed. Who won?
Did McEnroe win?
Oh.
Oh, see, that's where I just don't know. Okay.
The first American man to win in the open air was, of course, the late, great Arthur Ashe. But it wasn't. Yes. I think it was July 5th, so I couldn't put on the quiz.
Tough.
Okay.
There will be some Wimbledon tomorrow.
In the July 2nd quiz.
Yeah.
Well, is it a quiz, technically?
Yeah, there's a quiz element.
Oh, man.
There's also going to be some fun facts.
Okay.
I just feel like you need
to learn. Fun facts.
You need to learn some things about what happened in sports history.
On my day.
Yeah, with a specific caveat.
And on the day that we voted for independence, which is the most important thing.
True story.
Okay, you have a... So, 5.67? Is that what I said?
Yeah, okay. I've missed 1.33, however many questions. I've had 7 questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 8. Still at Wimbledon, our last Wimbledon question. Pete Sampras won his first Wimbledon title on July 4th of which year? And I'm sticking with Americans to win the British tournament because I think that's the most 4th of July thing ever.
It is
so
the most 4th of July
Pete Sampras
thing.
Won his first Wimbledon on July 4th of which year? A, 1990, B, 1993, C, 1997.
My first instinct when you said it was 1993. I'm going with that final answer.
Very good.
Yes. There we
go. Very good.
Yes.
Just 2 days after I entered the planet. Very good.
Ah, yes.
Of course. It's what I wanted to see the first week here. An American winning Wimbledon is a good start. Okay, 6.67, Kwok. Question number 9. These two last questions are kind of weird, so just go.
Okay. All right.
How many hot dog eating contest championships does Joey Chestnut have?
Okay.
A, 10, B, 12, C, 15.
How many does he have? Are we talking specifically the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest that takes place on the 4th of July?
Oh, well, of course. What other contest would we be discussing?
Okay. They need to be sanctioned, and that's...
The official...
Okay.
Champion. The official contest.
All right. So I got to figure out, Kobayashi, he kind of... I mean, he was always weird, but he kind of went weird there probably around 2010, but maybe a little before.
Think back to the 30 for 30.
I know. And Joey Chestnut has been winning since then. Did he predate Obama? I'm going... I'm going to say... 12.
Very good.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
I was actually thinking it might have been 10, but yes.
He has 12 championships since 2007.
Okay.
So he's won basically every year.
Okay.
And he's going to try to defend his title this year with no fans.
He will.
No fans.
I mean,
he
will. He doesn't need them.
Okay. Kwok, you have a 7.67. If you get this question right, you'll get basically an 87, which is a very solid performance.
Solid B.
Very solid performance.
All right.
Solid B, which almost, I think, is kind of very American, right? Just a solid B. B plus.
Yeah, I think so.
B plus. Okay. Which of these famous people was not born on July 4th? Not born on July 4th. A, George Steinbrenner. B, Missy Elliott. C, Post Malone. Or D, Malia Obama.
God.
What a group. What a group. Man. If you could have dinner with four people, I mean, there they are right there. George Steinbrenner, Missy Elliott, Post Malone, Malia Obama.
You know, unless I've read this wrong, which I may have, I think Malia Obama shares your birthday. I'm going to say D, Malia Obama.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. George Steinbrenner, Post Malone, whose real name is Richard Post, which was hilarious, and Malia Obama were all born on July 4th. Missy Elliott was born on July 1st.
Mm.
I don't know how you were going to get that one. It was tough.
Yeah, that was.
I kind of ran out of questions because I could have just asked you more random Wimbledon questions, but didn't really want to do that. So overall, Quack, you got a 77. You got a 76, Quack. 1776.
As in 17.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
Fantastic.
Well done. Very American of you.
Okay. Thank you. You know what? I was very concerned about that quiz. I was concerned about that Trivia Tuesday.
You did great.
Because you sent me a DM today in a taunting manner saying that I wasn't ready.
But I always do that.
Yeah, that's true. I did not expect to do that well.
Next 4th of July, just make sure you study up at hotdog.org to get ready.
Make sure the hyphen's there.
Yeah. Hot-dog.
Every time there's a hyphen, there's a reason, kids. Do not leave off the hyphen. All right, let's take a break and we come back. A little college football for you. A couple of topics of interest today. I think you'll enjoy the conversations we're about to get into. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
Are you having trouble meeting your IRS or state tax obligations? David Green can help during this COVID-19 pandemic. The IRS has instituted relaxed collection measures, delayed due dates, and other programs that we can use to help delinquent taxpayers. If you owe the IRS, don't wait. Act now and get relief before they fully resume collection activities again. Call David at 864-271-7940 for your free planning session and let them help you be proactive.
Did you know that excess belly fat increases the risk of heart attack, stroke, high blood pressure, and even cancer? It may be your belly fat that's causing your symptoms of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and sleep apnea. The Health Dare blasts belly fat and guarantees results or your money back. Average inch loss is 17 inches in 30 days, mostly from your belly. And at the Health Dare, the second person is always free because we won't let you do this alone. Call 1-877-IDARE-ME or go to idareme.com.
It's a great time to get in a new 2020 F-150 from George Coleman Ford. This crew cab edition features SDX appearance package, 20-inch aluminum wheels, reverse sensing, and rear camera, along with SYNC 3 and 2.7-liter engine. Just $35,587 plus tax and tag at George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. You never pay any hidden fees. Another reason why their customer service ratings are the highest around. Get your 2020 F-150 today at George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Includes $4,500 rebate, plus finance with Ford Motor Credit. Offer expires July 6, 2020.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
This is what flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our many hilarious commercials.
You and basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year. I know, right? Do you think I say I know right too often? I do. I know, right? I have to stop, don't I? I know.
And this
right?
is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle.
I know, right?
Yep, Even our commercials are better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Dabo Sweeney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Covering our bases on three great signals, 105.5, 97.5, and AM 1560. We are the Roar.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something.
Hour two continues Out of Bounds. William Quagamish, Kelly Gramlich. Before we get to college football here, Kelly, a bit of, and I'm going to say breaking news in a bit of a sad way here. Because something that we expected to take place, but now is about to be made official, has come across at least the internet at Baseball America. This is J.J. Cooper and Josh Norris. They say this. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. What was long expected will be made official today. There will be no minor league baseball in 2020. According to multiple sources, Minor League Baseball is expected to officially announce this afternoon that the season has been shelved because Major League Baseball has failed to provide players. Teams have been informed that they can make their own announcements later this afternoon after MILB's announcement. And The Athletic also reported that an announcement was expected to be made regarding the future on Tuesday. And then it talks about basically what's next in terms of contraction and all this stuff. This is obviously quite sad news for the Greenville Drive. And for our good friends there, we love working with them, and I've worked with them on several occasions, calling games and on the PA mic, and getting to enjoy their stadium and just being a fan in their stadium, and really love those guys. So that's tough. I know this was an expected thing, Kelly, but something that still, as long as there wasn't an announcement, you sort of wondered if there would be like a few games played where there. You know, were there enough players available to at least, you know, travel around to different markets and play some games for fans? And unfortunately, it seems like that's not the case. So hopefully this will lead to bigger and better upward and onward for 2021. But as for 2020, I think expectedly the minor league baseball will not take place. And so certainly wish all the best to the folks at the Drive.
And all the players out there.
That's right.
Who have been struggling with this. And, you know, there are some minor league players that have been upgraded to those 60-man rosters and things like that, but there's so many that haven't. And what do you think the impact of this is going to be long-term, Quack? I mean, do you think we're just going to start up minor league baseball next year, no problem? Is that what you think is going to happen?
Well, it depends on – and the article's actually really good. I spent the break just sort of perusing this article, and they talked about how, you know, that they – Every club is trying to find ways to keep revenue coming in to some degree, hosting events and things like that. But there also are going to be like 42 teams contracted. And that was something that we heard about last year for a little bit. And that the specific teams change on a fairly regular basis. Teams playing their way onto the bubble and off of the bubble, much like your classic NCAA basketball tournament situation. But Greenville seems to be okay. The Drive have a beautiful stadium, and it's very well run, and the Red Sox really like their partnership from what I can tell, and so Greenville's not going to be on the chopping block there. I would be highly shocked if that were the case. In fact, I've suggested, and I'm not sure I have any great information on this, but I've suggested that Greenville may be in line for a bump where they end up getting like a double-A team or something like that, or at least high-A after all this. It's weird to think that minor league baseball might look completely different, but they're talking about longer agreements with teams. So every couple of years, the agreements run out, and so teams can renegotiate, and it can lead to some weird partnerships and constant changing where, you know, you have one team that's affiliated with a certain big league club, and then 2 years later it's a different one, and then 2 years after that it's a different one altogether. That probably is going away in terms of the structure of it. They're trying to keep it a little more regimented and a little more tight with minor league baseball. I think in markets like this, that is probably going to come back okay next year. Obviously, we hope that there's not like major layoffs and things like that. Certainly, we don't want that. Hopefully, the franchises will be able to keep them afloat to some degree, and that revenue will continue to come in to some degree, and that local fans and businesses will continue to support next year when they come back. We certainly hope that as well. To your point about just the lack of players, everybody's got 60 with the big league club right now. That's a lot of minor leaguers, particularly in AAA and AA, and so it certainly stands to reason that there aren't enough, maybe even to fill one minor league team for each franchise at that point. Your cousin Sam is on the 60 for the Giants.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know if you knew that.
I figured excited.
You probably did. And there are 10 former Clemson players who are on these rosters. Stevie Wilkerson with Baltimore, Dominic Leone and Mike Freeman from Cleveland, Daniel Gossett from Oakland, along with Logan Davidson, Eli White from Texas. Listed as an outfielder, by the way. Interesting. Brad Miller from St. Louis, Jeremy Beasley and Seth Beer from Arizona, and Steven Duggar from San Francisco. It is really unfortunate for a lot of people. Unfortunately, it did seem like this was going to happen at some point. I am, Kelly, to answer, I said a lot of words there without really answering your question. I am optimistic about minor league baseball going forward in the markets that will remain, because it feels like it will be a less confusing, more regimented, more purpose-driven process from the big league club. And so everybody, rather than, you got minor league franchises who are basically just on their own and just loosely affiliated, now the affiliations are tighter and longer lasting. So there's more of an assembly line type of feel over the course of years. I don't know if that makes sense at all. In my mind, it makes sense, but I'm not sure I'm explaining it great.
Well, I have a question about minor league baseball, and it's bigger than just, okay, will the teams be able to be solvent? Like, will they stay in business? All these types of things. I'm wondering about the players, because just from personal experience, you bring up my cousin. I saw him play 8 years of minor league baseball in AA and AAA before getting a call up and actually making appearances for the Giants. And now he's on the 60-man, so he's fine. But there's probably some guys out there who might be in their fourth year of minor league baseball, or they were in their second, or they're very young in it. And they're just saying, look, this might be my chance to just walk away because we don't have a season. I don't know how much they're getting paid or how much they got paid this season. Who knows what it's going to look like next year? I just don't really want to do this anymore. I don't have a job and I don't have opportunities, and this has just been canceled. So I wonder if this will drain the system a little bit, just because players don't want to wander around aimlessly for a year, which they've already been doing for 4 or 5 months since baseball was shut down. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think part of it is going to come down to contraction and what actually happens with these teams, because you got to think, if you're taking away 40 some odd teams times 25, you're looking at 1,000 players, and you already took 35 rounds out of your major league draft. So already I think Major League Baseball is trying to lessen the pool of players that it's responsible for. Now, whether that is relying more on independent leagues, more on, instead of bringing, 17, 18-year-olds from the Dominican Republic or Venezuela and some of the camps that they have in some of these, Puerto Rico, some of these places, do you keep them there for a couple of years, staying where they are and training with your academies and things that are open, as opposed to having to subsidize them on American soil? Maybe that cuts costs a little bit, and maybe that's a little easier flow of traffic in terms of players up and down. I think when all said and done, if you have a smaller pool of players and then you also cut the available teams, I think it will end up working out fine. Now, if players retire, then you can always, you can make the draft next year 30 rounds instead of maybe 20. Or you can make it 40 rounds again instead of 30. I think baseball will be able to make sure that its supply lines of players are fine. Now, you're right about the individuals that will say, this ain't worth it. I'm out. I'm trying to do something else. My hunch is that players do that to some degree all the time.
Right. You're right on that.
I mean, and so I think, yes, there are going to be more players than usual that say, we're not doing this anymore. But my hunch is that teams are still going to have to cut because there are guys who are not going to be – who are still like sort of on their quote-unquote first shot where they're still trying to make it. They still have a dream. They're still trying to make it big, and they feel like they still have a chance. So they're going to hang on for as long as they possibly can because once you walk away, you're probably not going to be able to come back. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It'll be interesting. We really won't know the ramifications of this probably until – next baseball season. I will learn more about minor leagues and minor league teams and what's happening as the year goes on, but I don't know if we can really tell the ramifications right now.
And I know that you know, a lot of the headlines from baseball's perspective have been about owners versus players union and numbers, finances, that kind of thing. But make no mistake about it, if life returns to normal by February, March 2021, if we have a vaccine and we can start to reintegrate back into some semblance of normal life, then I think it's business as usual. As much as commit. Now, it's going to be new because they're probably going to contract teams. They've not said that officially yet, but that's what it feels like is going to happen. And particularly given that they can now blame the financial situation, even though we knew baseball is probably going to do that to begin with, they can blame finances for it. Given that is the case, I feel like there are going to be opportunities still. I don't think you'll see in Major League Baseball like a five-year recovery. I think it may be a one-year recovery where you have a particularly dead free agent market this next offseason because no one knows what revenue is going to do, and the revenue shoot back up next year. I think the same is probably going to be true for the NFL, and the same is probably going to be true for the NBA. As long as there's only one season without fans or with very limited fans.
One season, basically.
Right. Then you're going to be able to recoup that at the drop of a hat, and then all of a sudden your franchise regains value and you're able to replenish the coffers. And particularly if the economy rebounds too and people have expendable income to go to the ballpark.
Right, and they want to go because people – but they have to feel safe. I mean, that's the bottom line, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
With
that's exactly
fan
right.
revenue. What about – just sticking with baseball for one more question. What about the big league guys that have chosen not to play? The big one, Ryan Zimmerman, who said he's opting out. Do you make anything of that?
Yeah, I think there are going to be some guys, particularly guys that have had health issues, particularly guys who maybe just don't want to get geared up for 60 games. And Brian Zimmerman has been in the league for a long time. He's, I don't know if he's an original national, but he's been the national
they
organization
called him
forever.
Ryan Zimmerman said he's not playing. There's a few other guys, but one of the other guys announced and they said, oh, this is the first young guy. So they called Ryan Zimmerman has been called old on
he's
multiple
old.
Shows throughout this week. So
I mean, he's late 30s.
Tough look for him.
Yeah. Ian Desmond, I thought Ian Desmond made some good points about racial diversity in baseball. And he basically said, with everything going on in our world, I just don't want to play. And Ian Desmond made a lot of money in baseball. He is a player of color. And so he's talking about, you know, only 8% of our players are players of color. And we don't have a majority owner that's a person of color. And we're trying to say that we're about diversity and all this stuff. And so he wrote this thing on his Instagram. It's beautifully written. I kind of would have liked to see Ian Desmond through the season raise awareness. Given his concerns, but he also had other concerns with health and things like that. So he's bowing out too for the Rockies.
If you're worried about underrepresentation, wouldn't you want to be out there representing?
That's kind of what I thought.
And I get the concern, okay, baseball's only 8% black, which is kind of surprising to me of the players. But look, are there some issues with young black boys being able to play baseball and having the opportunity to play baseball and having good little leagues in their neighborhood and whatever? Of course. But in the end, it's sports. You know, I don't know how much you can try to encourage young black boys to play baseball, but I'm not sure that that's MLB's issue. Now, the lack of ownership and the lack of managers, sure, but the lack of players, best player plays. I mean, we've seen it's sports, you know?
And
so I'm not sure about that.
There's a pipeline from Latin America
True.
The big leagues. And then you have the pool of available talent. I think Major League Baseball honestly has done a good job of reaching out through its RBI program to inner cities and trying to build. I mean, they have these they probably won't do any this year, but they have these unveilings of RBI fields and cities, like big metropolitan areas, about every year and maybe multiple times a year, where they're unveiling these ballparks for kids to go play and learn the game. The reality is there's just not a whole lot of interest. And may not be interest because it's a lack of access for a lot of people.
But
still,
you can't force, if a young black boy wants to play football or wants to play basketball, you can't force him to play baseball.
Right.
He's going to choose.
Right.
In Little League, Texter says there's no issue with Little League, equal opportunity. I feel like Little League, you can go play. You know what I mean? Like, there's a Little League available, I would assume. And I don't think it's that expensive. It's probably less expensive than AAU basketball or something like that. But I don't know if you can't just create interest. If it's not authentic, if young African-American boys would prefer to play basketball and football, I don't know what Major League Baseball is supposed to do about that. They can do these efforts, what you're talking about, which is great, and just make the game more accessible. But I'm not sure that that is an issue that Major League Baseball can necessarily change. Managers and owners, sure. Players, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Right. I agree with you on that. I also think we've talked about this on the show before, and I know we got to get to break here, and we will. 654 Roar is a number if you want to get into it. It is interesting to me that for instance, Michigan, they recruited the best team in college football last year, or college baseball last year, or one of the best. They were definitely one of the best all year long throughout the season. They recruited by going to cities and getting guys who were athletes, but maybe who didn't have the money to play on big time travel ball teams. It is becoming economics are becoming a factor in how you get seen, and much like basketball. Economics becomes a factor in getting seen and access to, AAU, USSSA, those types of things. Mm-hmm. It becomes a factor in getting seen. Baseball, there's this romanticism about baseball, which we've talked about on the show. I know we talked about how romantic
it's
baseball
is. It's so romantic.
There is this love affair that America has with baseball, but that vision of baseball is basically non-existent right now. Because if you're a young person and you want to play and your dream is to play, it's going to cost a bunch of money to get on a good team, to get the equipment, all that stuff. Right. But baseball, there's this idea that baseball is a little more accessible.
I would say the most accessible is football.
Well, yes.
You play high school football and that's all you have to do. There's no club. There's really no club football.
Right.
AAU football.
I'm saying more like the feel of it, like the story we tell about baseball, the narrative of baseball is about everybody's got a bat and a glove, and they can just, go play with kids in the neighborhood or whatever.
Sandlot.
Right. It's apply the sandlot, but that's really not the case now. And so I think that is a hindrance as well for a lot of people. But I mean, the concerns are valid, and I'm not going to tell anybody who wants to stay home unless they're a member of the Reds. I'm not going to tell anybody that they're wrong. Stay with us, and I'm obviously tongue-in-cheek about that. Somebody's going to think I'm serious. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. We will get into college football. We'll also take your phone call. 654 Roar is the number. Back after this.
Hey, Tiger fans. Don Munson here, voice of the Clemson Tigers, and I want you to know there is no better way to support your Tigers than by being a member of IPTE. Membership starts at only $60 and provides critical support for our student athletes to be champions in the classroom and in athletic competition. Be a game changer and visit ClemsonTigers.com/IPTE or call 1-800-CLEMSON to join IPTE today.
I was 5'4" and 220 pounds. My husband was over 300 pounds. We took the health dare and lost over 60 pounds each. We were skeptical, but we got so excited when we found out we didn't have to change our routine, go to the gym, or eat lettuce. The results were amazing. If you have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or sleep apnea, check out the health dare. They promise to reverse your symptoms or your money back. Right now, they're offering a buy one, get one free special for spouses. Go to idareme.com or call 1-877-IDARE-ME. I dare you.
At Toyota of Easley, every new Toyota comes with 2 years, 25,000 miles free maintenance. The Toyota Care Plan is a no-cost maintenance plan with 24-hour roadside assistance. And Toyota of Easley gives away $1,000 every 2 weeks. All you have to do to enter to win is test drive a car. If a used car is what you're looking for, Toyota of Easley has a huge selection of certified used Toyotas with a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call 855-2233 or visit Toyota of Easley, 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Your Total Wine & More store is ready to serve you with our always low prices on an incredible 8,000 wines, 3,000 spirits, and 2,500 beers. Want it today? Try our contactless curbside pickup available for wine and beer at TotalWine.com. Whether you're mixing up a new cocktail or pouring a glass to enjoy an evening on the deck, Total Wine & More has you covered. Visit our Greenville store or TotalWine.com.
Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, four lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, we're throwing in four Samsung Galaxy phones on us. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
From faulty breakers to broken windows to leaky pipes, roofs, and water heaters, homes and businesses around the country can't work until the pros do. That's why Lowe's created credit programs that work for pros. With everyday 5% savings on eligible purchases, plus through October 31st, 60 days promotional financing on your Lowe's business account or extended terms on eligible account receivables. Learn more in-store or online at lowesforpros.com. Putting money back in your pocket. Just one more reason Lowe's is the new home for pros. Subject to credit approval, U.S. only.
We've got sports covered in Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich, 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us here on the program today. 654-7627-986-1566 on the Health Dare text line. Transform your body in 90 days, I dare you, with the Health Dare at Quag Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 1055. The Roar. This hour brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. I'll bet you didn't know, unless you listened to the show yesterday and we told you, I bet you didn't know that July coming up is National Carpet Cleaning Month and that your carpet is the largest filtration system in your home. So think about it. When you have air filters, when you put air filters in, you gotta change those things every now and then. I have, when I was much younger, I made the mistake of not changing air filters because I just didn't know what I was doing. And that was a real disaster. It had consequences for my living environment. I mean, it just was. Your carpet is the same way. It needs to be consistently updated. It can keep dirt, debris, and bacteria from circulating in the air. Manufacturers recommend that you get your carpet professionally cleaned every 6 to 12 months to keep your carpet at its best. Call Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning today. Take advantage of their summer sale going on where you can get three rooms of carpet clean for only $129 plus a free hallway. That is a great, great deal. For more information, visit ZeroResGreenville.com. Kelly, let's shift gears to the world of college football. And let's talk a little bit about this 247 Sports piece from Barton Simmons. This is from last week, actually. like 4 days ago. So what, Friday, Saturday? I don't even know. I don't know what days are or what. I think it's from Friday.
Last week. That works.
It was last week. The 20 people who will swing the 2020 college football season. This is an interesting concept.
That is the good thing about 2020 is you can write a lot of 20 pieces, which is
good. I will go ahead and tell you, this is a different kind of list. I really like thinking about college football this way because it's not ranking better or worse.
Right.
It's not doing that, which we'll do 100 lists, and we love lists. We love, you know, poking holes in other people's lists. We love doing our own.
Lists, all kind of lists.
This is a list that basically says whether these people are good or bad is truly irrelevant. It's just about whether they're good or bad and what type of impact it will have over the course of the college football season. And I really like thinking about the game that way. I don't think my brain does it enough, and it was almost like a drink of water in the desert for my brain.
Wow.
To be like, you know what? I don't have to worry about, for instance, the first guy on the list is Miles Brennan. I don't have to worry about whether he's going to be good or bad necessarily. I just need to figure out if his performance could truly swing the balance of power in college football this year.
So you just described an article as it felt like a drink of water in the desert.
For my brain.
That's how much you love this article.
Yeah, I really like it.
All right.
I'm such
a big
fan.
Let's do it then.
Let's start with Miles Brennan, okay? Are you buying Miles Brennan as a big-time mover and shaker in college football?
He's very important. There's no doubt that he's very important because if he performs like a, I'm trying to remember some of the rando quarterbacks that, Danny Etling, there we go.
Oh, there it is.
Some of the recent quarterbacks at LSU, or even first-year Joe Burrow. If he performs like one of those guys, then LSU is going to jump right back
Jordan
down. Jordan Jefferson. You know, the list could go on and on.
Right.
Then who was the LSU quarterback that tried to go to North Carolina and play quarterback? And I said he should be playing wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hold.
That guy, Brandon Harris. These very average, very mediocre LSU quarterbacks. If Miles Brennan is just one of those guys, which it's more likely, in my opinion, that he is one of those guys than he is even comparable to Joe Burrow, right? If you're looking at a sliding scale for Miles Brennan for the next LSU quarterback to, let's say on the left, it's average, mediocre LSU quarterback. On the right, it's Joe Burrow. He might be somewhere in the middle, but he's not going to be Joe Burrow. He's just not. So LSU has to take a step back. And I think if he's very good, then LSU has a chance of winning 10 games. If he's mediocre to, you know, what LSU normally has, I think they could win as few as 8. Maybe even in a worst case scenario, drop down lower than that. So he is the X factor for LSU, which then means he's also the X factor for what kind of competition Bama has in that division.
I'm going to immediately sound self-contradictory when I say yes and no on this, okay? And in fact, I'm going to sound self-contradictory because I am being self-contradictory on this. Miles Brennan, in and of himself, I think has a lot of potential to sway college football. The problem is that it's not just him. Just like last year, it wasn't just Joe Burrow. It was the combination.
It was the other Joe.
Of Joe Burrow and Joe Brady.
The Joes.
So, yes, Miles Brennan might, if he's great, then he can change the balance of power and he can keep LSU back on top. Or put LSU back on top. If he's not, though, I feel like our first inclination, because we said the first statement, will be to blame him. And we really don't know a lot of things about LSU. It's not, I just hesitate to frame it as Miles Brennan is the if-then that either unlocks everything with LSU or keeps it all locked up. I don't think that's necessarily true. There's too many moving parts in that offense.
Well, I would argue that 15-0 national champions, that's not even on the table. So if you take that off and say, is he the difference for LSU between 8 wins and 10 wins? I would probably say yes.
Yes. Well, now that is very true. I also think it's hard to separate a quarterback from his offensive system? Because just saw that with Burrow. I mean, Burrow, in and of himself, just by himself in a box, was trash 2 years ago and won the Heisman last year. Hard to just say that it was him that did all that.
I look at LSU's schedule, and I think LSU and what's going to happen to them is very simple. It comes down to four games. And either they go 8-4, they go 12-0, or they go somewhere in between. It's Texas, Florida, at Florida, by the way, Alabama, at Auburn. Those are the big four. And if they lose all four of those, they have two of those at home, two on the road, then they're going 8-4. And if you lose all four of those, then maybe possibly you could drop at A&M or something like that. But LSU's a better program right now, I think, and a better team than A&M. They're not going to win all four of those. There's no way. Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Texas. If they split and go 2-2, that's 10 wins. I think Miles Brennan is the difference. And however Miles Brennan performs, and again, you can't just, it's not Miles Brennan in a vacuum, because it has to do with the system and just the cohesiveness that LSU is able to have after not having a spring and bringing in new coordinators all over the place, right? But I do think if you're looking at those four swing games, the difference between 8 wins, 10 wins, even 12 wins, which is not happening, is Miles Brennan.
I could see that.
It's a simple way to put it. Obviously, I understand that quarterbacks, what happens with quarterbacks, there's a lot of factors. But the simplest way to put it is those four games, if LSU loses all four of those, we know Miles Brennan is not playing well, point blank. I don't see any way around that.
Is there another, here's another question that sort of takes some heat off Brennan. If Joe Burrow didn't have a back with Clyde Edwards-Helaire's versatility, what is his relative performance last year?
Well, Quack, I think that's I get what you're getting at, but every great quarterback, every Heisman Trophy winning quarterback has weapons, except for maybe Lamar Jackson. So you can make the statement, if you take so-and-so away from him, how does he perform? I understand. We all get that LSU's weapons and the weapons Miles Brennan is going to have are not the weapons that Joe Burrow had. I think we're all on the same page about that.
Yes. All I'm saying is I'm not sure that Miles Brennan, much like I don't believe Joe Burrow is necessarily in charge of his own destiny, I'm not sure that Miles Brennan is the only one. And that may be a distinction without a difference.
Well, then I think you're going to make that argument for every player on this list.
No, I probably won't. Like, Sam Howell is not. Somebody like Sam Howell, for instance. And now I can't even remember every single player who's on these lists. But
Sam Howell is on here.
All right, the next one is Spencer Rattler. To me, absolutely, Spencer Rattler. Every piece that's in the, I know CeeDee Lamb's gone, but every piece in the offense is there, right? You know that they've got talent at the skill. You know that they've been, over time, they've got a bunch of different quarterbacks who have won Heisman trophies. The if you are good enough, Lincoln Riley's going to make you into a star. That puts the onus on Spencer Rattler's shoulders. And
okay,
I think that's different than what Miles Brennan's having to do when Joe Burrow had everything coming to place for him, and then all of that stuff, and Burrow is gone, to just say, well, it's up to Miles Brennan to replicate what Joe Burrow did. Like you're saying, maybe that's not even realistic, but it would be realistic for Rattler to put up numbers similar to what all three of his predecessors have done.
Yes, a little bit. I agree. I think Spencer Rattler is super important in this year's college football season, determining the Big 12 champion first and foremost, and then if there's no Big 12 champion, I think that trickles down to possibly getting a Pac-12 team in there. So there's, he's a huge factor. But he did lose weapons, too. CeeDee Lamb is not there. Sermon transferred to Ohio State. That's big.
That is big.
So they do have weapons there, but it's kind of similar to Miles Brennan, even though Brennan does get to bring back Ja'Marr Chase, which is, not anything crazy. And they do have Derek Stingley back, and they still have a really good defense. And Oklahoma's defense is a work in progress. So we can look at all these guys and say, well, it matters what happens around them. I think we should just try to look at them in a vacuum a little bit and say, okay, what kind of impact can Spencer Rattler have? I think Spencer Rattler can have a massive impact at Oklahoma that can trickle down to the rest of college football.
Right. I agree with you. I think we have to try to see him in a vacuum. That's why I would argue that Brennan, I'm not even sure Brennan needs to be on this list. Like, I understand why he is, but to me, it's easier to put Rattler in a vacuum.
Yes, I agree.
Because he's the, like, he's
same
the thing
Sam
that
Howell,
changed.
Who is on the list. We'll get to him.
Right, that's right. I mean, Rattler, to me, that there's more at stake for Rattler, and I think there's a little bit at stake for Lincoln Riley, too, and we can talk about this a little more on the other side because we're up against the top of the hour here. Lincoln Riley, since he's been at Oklahoma, his three best quarterbacks, transfer, transfer, transfer. He's not picked one out of high school and developed them into a star. Mm. He's taken quarterbacks
good
that
point.
Other people have picked and molded them a little bit further. This is big for Lincoln Riley to prove that he can pick his guy, mold him, raise him up, and then make him into the types of things that he's been able to make other people's guys into. We'll discuss.